Hey, hi, hello, my friends. I am so excited. I say that every single episode, probably within the first 10 seconds. I'm so excited to have the guest that we have on today. Him and I feel like the universe has just like allowed like our algorithms to coincide with one another. And we literally scheduled this podcast, I think, yesterday. And I am like the planner of the entire world. So the fact that this is happening is just serendipitous and not. It's both. We have Eric, why don't I want you to introduce yourself?
Okay. First of all, I like your Christmas tree.
Thank you. How festive with literally no lights or ornaments on
It's
it.
better than nothing, right? It's great. Well, my name is Eric. Eric Amezcua. I'm 22 years old. And I think I met you maybe a few weeks ago through the internet world. But this is our first time meeting in person, so to speak, through the virtual ether. But I don't know. I've always had a sense over the past few weeks that like I was aware of you, and I felt like you were aware of me, and like we like commented and supported each other. But introduce myself. Well, I'm figuring things out. I'm pretty into the whole science world, and I enjoy talking about the idea that you can use science and spirituality and kind of merge them, and I think that they're actually one and the same. More and more, I think we're seeing that concepts that were once, kind of out there, like your mind affects your world, affects your body, are now becoming quite commonplace in the world of science. And now we're getting explanations for that. And I just love kind of putting the pieces together of using different aspects of knowledge, from physics all the way up to how bio, like all the way to biology and like the organization of humans. I love using the whole range of science to just philosophize, ponder about the universe. And within that is this concept of creating your reality, which I talk a lot about on my channel. Huge into people like Joseph Rodriguez, Napoleon Hill, Erno Nightingale, who talk about things like think, grow rich, right? Using your mind to supplement your self-development journey and to actually be intentional and to create in your life. And I enjoy learning about that and spreading whatever information and knowledge that I encounter.
I think that you do such a great job at it. I follow a lot of creators, podcasters, and different channels of sharing knowledge. And I think that you have really made something super complicated, super simple, and digestible for people that are like closer to our age. Is this something that you've always been passionate about? The science of spirituality, the spirituality of science?
Yeah, I would say my entire academic journey was kind of everywhere. I always, I enjoyed school. I was pretty good at it, but it never stressed me out. Like I never, took it super seriously. Definitely did well, but like it was, try to play a lot. And as a result, I switched my major in college like five times, I think, from everything to, and finally ended up on human biology. But just listening to, I'm pretty into people like Bruce Lipton, Joe Dispenza, Nassim Haudain, who's like this physicist talking about the nature of reality. And I'm really fascinated. I think that right now we're kind of entering the frontier in terms of human knowledge and understanding of how consciousness relates to the physical world. And, we're seeing things like at the bottom of physics, like the observer effect and just how consciousness seems to play like a fundamental role in the generation of reality, even at quantum physics, and just kind of questioning like, how does this relate to the macro world and our actual lives? Can we apply these concepts? But I would say that, just throughout school, I enjoyed learning and asking questions. But when I got into university and I started encountering more things like the meditation, the Wim Hof breathing, the cold exposure, the like just exercise and journaling and just self-development in general, I realized like, okay, like, wow, these things are not separate. Like all this stuff that I'm doing seemingly in the esoteric and the psychological, they're actually very rooted in reality. When I practice the empowering, the uplifting, the inspiring thoughts, and I make those habit, it affects my body, and like we're seeing how that affects your health and stuff. And yeah, going throughout college, it was kind of a journey of just learning, having fun, and seeing this recurring pattern that, you know, things you're interested in the world of the spiritual are actually empirical. You know, they're one. The science and the esoteric are bridging. And I think that's really a fascinating thing that we're seeing in our lifetime.
Are you religious at all?
I was raised Catholic. And I think like everyone, I underwent my secular phase. You know, I went to college. I'm the youngest of three siblings, right? So my oldest brother went to college. He underwent his secular phase. That kind of brushed up on the other two brothers. And so certainly I like separated from it and questioned and, you know, fell into, I think, what is an atheistic fad, which is, I think, something we're seeing, you know, that the fact, the idea of like, yeah, there's nothing there. It's all just a dead rock that happened through chance and stuff like that. And I think after college, maybe towards the end of college, I just started appreciating religions more for the truth to which they point. I think all of them, or at least most religions, they have very fundamental and shared stories and lessons, and they all point in some way to what is this bigger ideal of truth. We can't know it directly by definition, but all of these different traditions, they seem to all refer to what is the same thing, different aspects of the same thing. And I think by cross-referencing and studying and, you know, a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of Buddhism, Catholicism, Christianity, you see common trends and you can gain value from that. I mean, these religions, they've been around for thousands of years. They are what the collective consciousness of humanity have sprung about over thousands of years. And there's a reason. It's because there's truth there. And we don't need to confuse that with a model of the world and be rigid and dogmatic. But certainly we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is like what we humans have created over thousands of years, and there's wisdom there. So I think it would benefit our society and all of us to just observe and learn and study these religions. You know, not necessarily a lot, but just to the extent that you see, okay, that there's some value here. Now, I started discovering that with, you know, Catholicism. It's like, I was raised Catholic. I have a long lineage of Catholic powerful grandmothers that are like, you know, super tapped in and connected. And that's not to say that I necessarily believe in the traditional sense of a God. I think I see God as more of a, we can get into that, but I realize, whoa, there's power here. You know, there's tradition here, that there's a lot of ability that I've inherited. Like even my middle name is Gabriel, which is I was named after an archangel. And like, yeah, I could say, oh, none of that stuff exists, and just kind of cut myself off from that powerful source of energy, or I can just use that as part of like my spiritual weapons. I really like the concept that life is kind of like your ultimate choose your adventure game. It's like, you know, we talk about VR, but this is the ultimate VR experience. The human nervous system is the ultimate haptic suit, best one on the market. It's very, very real. And as we move through this adventure that is our lives, like we get to arm ourselves with weapons and tools and shields and spells, right? It's like a game of D&D, except all of that exists in your imagination. And I think, you know, being able to, for instance, like speak to what is my subconscious or the universe or God or my archangel, whatever you want to call it, it provides this level of power that if I didn't perceive it in this way, I wouldn't have access to. So I think I wouldn't say I'm necessarily religious, though I definitely see the value in them. And I'm somewhere between, I'd say both extremes.
People are starting to recognize, I would much rather identify as spiritual, not religious. But as we've been talking about science and spirituality, your beliefs about your beliefs, your human body, everything is all connected. I wish everyone could see my hands right now. I'm doing like this like snake situation. I think that what you believe about God says everything about you. And what you don't believe about God also says everything about you. You were mentioning your middle name being Gabriel. That's a lineage thing. There's also science behind, I don't know if you've read The Body Keeps Score, the way that there are things that our ancestors have been through that we still experience to this day. So like you look at like the research behind addiction, generational trauma, there are, I think the story in The Body Keeps Score is a guy was having like super intense nightmares and sweating in the middle of the night. His psychologist couldn't figure it out. Turns out his great, great, great grandfather was in Nazi internment camp and was like, ended up being burned alive. Our bodies are so much smarter than we give them credit for. Our bodies and our minds, and like the way that our DNA works with the people that have come before us, are just so important. Why would you not think that something as close to you as your literal middle name wouldn't have an effect on you? I personally, anyone who's ever known me, I love talking about God, but I'm also a seminary dropout. I did work in traditional Christianity. I worked in a church, and then I realized, oh, wait, America's religious system is kind of fucked up. And I love God, but I don't really love the representatives of what America has allowed God to be for other people, especially women and people of color. Everything that you talk about, neuroscience and like spirituality, do you think that that has a tie with your views right now? Because you don't really, you don't consider yourself an atheist, right?
Right. Yeah. So how does my like view of science and understanding of that relate to, I guess, my models of the universe, right? And how things work? That's a good question. What comes to mind is the word unity. And I think it's something that we're seeing at the very bottom of science in the world of physics, that when we search for, okay, what is this reality made out of? And okay, we get to atoms, and then we go beyond atoms, and we get to things like quarks and gluons and fundamental particles. And you go beyond that, and at a certain point, you find nothingness. But more than nothingness, you find what is a unified field. It's like a field within which everything arises, right? It's the condition that precedes everything, whose vibrations, like at the energy level, are particles, are matter. And I think the physicists are starting to sound like the Eastern philosophers, talking about things like unity and oneness. And it's simply the fact that at the very foundations of our physical reality, there is a unified field. Everything is this same field manifested, right? It is everything is this field taken the forms of everything else. You and I speaking right now are the quantum field, right? That in which everything arises, the condition in which all information exists, speaking to each other. It's like this: the field becomes alive and begins to observe each other. There's like a feedback loop going on. And so the conclusion there is like everything is one, right? Everything is one universe. It's one quantum field. And we are that thing. It's not that we are observers of it, standing outside of it. No. And this, if the quantum field is like a blanket, right? You're like, you pinch the blanket and you pull it up, you become a person. That's kind of what it is. You are that thing. And I think they're very similar insights in specifically non-duality, idealism, which is the concept that everything is one, right? Non-duality claims that the separation between what we think to be mind and matter is actually illusory. That as a matter of experience, there is only consciousness, right? And this is the school of philosophy called idealism. Essentially, the same claim there is that everything's one, right? The image, the analogy that comes to mind, and this is given by Rupert Spira. He says, like, so suppose right here you fell asleep and you dreamt you were Melissa in Paris, and you're walking the streets of Paris, and you see the buildings and the Eiffel Tower, and you think, okay, I'm here. This is my mind. I'm Melissa, and the streets of Paris are over there, right? They are outside of me. And you call that which is outside of you matter, right? You think it's separate from your localized perspective of being Melissa in a dream. You think that the world outside of you is matter. But we know that everything in that dream, both Melissa's mind and the streets of Paris, they are the activity of a higher mind, of your mind asleep here, dreaming, right? Indeed, if Melissa goes into a hotel in Paris, dreams she is Peter in Rome. She's Peter's walking the streets of Rome. He thinks, okay, I'm here. This is Peter's mind. There's the world. And he calls that matter. But all of that, both Peter's mind and the streets of Rome, are the activity of Melissa's consciousness, asleep. Right? Indeed, everything. Peter's mind, Rome, Paris, Melissa's mind. It's all the activity of your consciousness, right? Asleep. Taking the form of the world. And now we find ourselves here, right? In a very similar predicament where we think, okay, I'm Eric. I'm here. I'm this localized self. You're over there. You have your own mind. And everything that is not us is outside of us. It's matter. It's something separate, something other than. We call it matter. But really, this is perhaps all the activity of a higher mind, of one being, right? And the Hindu philosophy is called the Brahman, right? Or the Atman. It's like the one thing. And I just think it's very curious that all signs, even in science, seem to point to this unified, this unity of everything.
Because we both come from Christian backgrounds, which I don't identify with Catholicism. I think it's the coolest thing on earth. I literally listen to the Hallow app almost every day, which is a Catholic app that anyone who's listening to this, you like listen to songs, you like listen to sermons, you know, go through those practices and you look at, you know, rituals, spiritual practices. There are reasons why people continue to go back to those. Routine is good for the human brain. Routine is good for the human body. But you also think of brain, body, spirit. What's preached and practiced in traditional Christianity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, all three in one. And as someone who I have been spending time with people that don't speak the same language as much as I do, it's been really, really difficult to try to translate your beliefs into words when like you weren't raised a specific way, which I think is really cool that you mentioned Buddhism and different kinds of belief systems, that they're actually all not, they're not all the same thing. But whenever you can speak that language, you can actually get in with someone. That's kind of like when things actually start to translate and you can communicate. So going back to that, the way that you communicate with your community online, and anyone who hasn't seen any of Eric's videos or communicated with him through the internet space, I will make sure to link all of his channels below. But what have you found to be, because you use a lot of like pencil and paper, I've noticed, and you use a lot of interpersonal communication. What have you found to be the most, I guess, successful form of communication with people that don't necessarily speak the language that you do yet?
Okay, good question. So I think I would preface by saying that, you know, for most people, you're not going to have this conversation with 90% of people, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about oneness, you sound like a kook. Mm-hmm. And science, you know, it's like really out there. Even what you mentioned about epigenetics, I think it's really, really fascinating. And I love that you've learned about that as well. So you definitely don't discuss, like, on my channel, I'm not talking about the Atman, right? I'm not talking about, like, unity. And certainly, I think, I don't mind talking about that. It's like, it's part of, you know, who I am in my channel. Our channels are really about us, right? They're not about any one thing we're trying to teach. I would say, now how to actually reach the people who are not necessarily, you know, thinking about all these things as well.
Right.
Right, exactly. They're not really in that world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to represent this in a way that is in line with their current beliefs and their current models of the world. Because when you try to go and just preach, then without building a bridge between what they understand already and believe to be true and what you're trying to provide, then they can never walk across, right? And they can never meet you in that realm of mind. They can never have that understanding, right? And so I just found, you know, why do I journal and like share the journaling a lot? People just seem to really like the visual, you know, like I could sit there and speak to the camera, and I do that quite a bit. But there's something more engaging about seeing pen to paper and just seeing like what is your mind on paper, seeing the art and like your style of writing. I think people really resonate with the journaling stuff. It seems to be doing quite well.
Did you happen to watch the Seth Rogen documentary about his psychologist?
No.
Oh my God, you have to. I think
was it Seth Rogen or was it Jonah Hill?
Jonah Hill. I don't know why I thought Seth.
Right, right.
I saw
glimpses of it. My brother was watching it. I didn't watch
it. He would love it. I think that would definitely be something that's up your alley. But I do think that it's cool that Jonah Hill created a documentary about his psychologist. That if you're going to put out a Netflix documentary, obviously the masses are going to be watching it and like talking about really granular concepts.
Yeah.
The way that they do like little doodles. What was it on SpongeBob? The doodle guy with the pencil. It's just everything seems to be so much more. You can communicate through things outside of language. And I think that's really cool. And being able to use the internet or using the visual medium of film, digital, is just the coolest thing. Being the age that we are, being in this era that, you know, one day will be written about in like textbooks, and maybe our kids one day will take like a digital media class, the rise of TikTok. And it's like, oh, like we learned about like the rise of like radio and television. So I do think that that's really cool. But speaking of children, I was listening to Eric's podcast and something that is really interesting to me that I didn't think was necessarily aligned with what he talks about a lot online is the fall of the nuclear family. Lineage, what is your perception of family? Because you say that you come from a like pretty, I mean, three brothers, that's more than I have. Like, that's a pretty big family. What is your perception of family, and what is the nuclear family to you?
Well, I have two brothers, three brothers total, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, good question. Well, I think, you know, I could talk about, you know, tradition and just beliefs and stuff. But I think, you know, for a lot of people, the way that we can discuss family and the importance of it, it'd be very beneficial if we discuss, you know, based in what are models of reality that we accept, like things like evolution and, you know, our days as hunter-gatherers. We go back 2,000 years, you know, go back 10,000 years. We lived in hunter-gatherer tribes of 50 to 200 people, and our brains thrive in what is a very robust social environment through specialization and community. All of our happy chemicals, they fire under, you know, what is this community of people who share our genes, right? And over the past, I don't know, 60 years, maybe 100 years, we've seen this trend, especially in the West, where you have a man and a woman have a child, the child grows to be 18, and the child leaves, right? I don't know, leaves the house, goes to college, and then he never goes back to the household, right? So you're seeing these families that are, you know, maybe two, three generations max, when, and there's only like, you know, 20 people, maybe maximum, that's a ton. But when you have a robust family, a big community, there is a very high fidelity exchange of information, right? We are not salmon. We're not chimps. We're humans. And one of our greatest assets is that of cultural evolution, right? Our ancestors lived and experienced. And although they lived in very different environments, the lessons are very similar and the wisdom is very, very real. And for us to neglect that and kind of isolate ourselves from that is quite ignorant, right? It's like you're missing out on so much XP.
And you also look at the divorce rate right now. I don't know. I personally, I'm not a child of divorce. And most of my family still lives in the same area except for me. But it's like you also start to feel that. You start to feel, oh, there's a reason. Maybe our ancestors were kind of onto something. Another thing that you'd mentioned in some of your teachings and some of the things that you've talked about, your big dreams of why you do what you do. One of those is create a life for like your future kids and like your future family. What does your like day-to-day decisions reflect on what you want your future self to obtain?
Good question. Day-to-day decisions that are kind of influenced by who I want to become, what I want to create, and ultimately what I want to be for my children and future wife. I would say that to the extent that is reasonable, I strive to live in a way that I'm preparing myself, right, for my descendants, for my future partner. Because one of the most important decisions we can make is like, who are we going to be with, right? With whom will we propagate our genes? It's like the decision that will influence the rest of your bloodline until the end of your lineage. I would say just having that in mind, that there's somebody out there who already exists, who I'm going to be with. And the caliber of life that I want to have, just the vision that I have in my mind for my life and for those around me, I would say just it makes me be better. You know, it makes me move my body and do a little bit of reading, do a little bit of journaling, just being intentional about what I'm doing day to day. It's not about being perfect. I mean, I'm nowhere near perfect. Like, you know, sometimes I skip a workout. Sometimes I don't journal and I watch too much TikTok, right? And that's okay. It's not about that. It's about your trajectory. It's like, where are you? Where's your vector pointing? And if you're satisfied with that, amazing. And I think the biggest thing is start small. Like, you don't have to completely 180 your life and be perfect and have all the habits. Like, I tell people you can change your life in 20 minutes a day. Like, 5 minutes of movement, 5 minutes of meditation, do some journaling, read a book for 5 minutes. You can absolutely change your life. So I would say, yeah, having that in mind of like the vision, right? I always talk about that. The vision of something you're working toward, your definite chief aim, that tends to polarize your behaviors, the skills you acquire, your beliefs. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. Let me ask you something. We've talked about a few things that I'm quite interested in. Epigenetics, right? The world of how, you know, your mind affects even your genes and what information you pass on. The internet. We've talked about religion, unity, and stuff like that. I want to ask about the internet, because we're in a very unique time in the history of humanity, as you said, where we never before have we been so connected, where even right now, you and I, like, we've never met in person. We've probably never been within 100 miles of each other. And we know each other. It's like we understand each other. And we're meeting right now through the ether. How do you think, what do you think the implications are of that connectedness, that increasing and highest connectedness we've ever had?
It's terrifying and beautiful, because I've had some of the coolest relationships because of the internet, because of the being able to connect this way. But I do think that it's a double-edged sword. Having the amount of variety and the amount of access to these different people that, like, you wouldn't have access to otherwise really kind of depletes having just monogamous relationships. But that's on, like, a romantic level. On, like, a friendship level, it has been the most fruitful part of my life, I would say. I am a product of MySpace and Tumblr. I still remember my, like, very first internet friend that I made on Tumblr when I was, like, 13 years old. I do think that it is definitely, like, affecting the way that our culture as a whole is moving, like, the trajectory of it. But I also think that it's a blessing. I think that God created us in this specific time frame to be able to have this kind of access to everyone. But we won't get into the news media, how not good it is. Speaking of tribe, we were not created to know as much as we know at all hours of the day and have, you know, this immediate access on these little, you know, bright screens that also fuck with our eyes. That's a completely different conversation. But what do you think of it? Do you love the internet or do you hate it?
I think you brought up a good point that it's both, right? It's a double-edged sword. And I think we'll see this at every single scale of the universe. Black and white, right? Yin yang, like bad and good, right? It's like you're going to see an expansion in both. You're going to see an expansion in economic opportunity and abundance, and like the baseline poverty line is going to rise. You know, literacy is going to increase. A lot of really good things, but the universe is expanding, right? And it's expanding in both polarities. So it's not something to hate or to fear, but it's just the understanding that both, there will always be both. You can't, like, it's the nature of reality that there's always both. And it's just, it's exciting. Now, what about the internet itself? I think, I always think from a more, like, I always think, I don't know, about biology and just kind of philosophy. And what comes to mind is just a common trend that we see in biology and just systems in general. And it is that when you put systems together, they create something more intelligent, more complex. Okay, so let's start from the bottom. You have prokaryotic cells in Earth's oceans swimming independently 4.5 billion years ago. And these things are swimming along, you know, their life, but they're very simple. And then they realize, holy crap, we work better together. And you get a prokaryote that enters another prokaryote and creates a eukaryote. And now it's like two things coming together, forming like some other organism. It navigates its environment in a more complex way. It's more intelligent. It can get food better. It's just more improved overall. And then the eukaryote's like moving along by itself. And then it realizes like, holy crap, we work better together. And it comes together and it creates what is a multicellular organism. And now you have something that has eyes and ears and like a brain and like a digestive system. And it's just more complex. It's able to navigate its environment better, be more intelligent, and just be more conscious. And then we have, the multicellular organisms going by themselves. And then you have like social organisms, right? And the same thing happens. Like with the rise of the internet, it's another level of expansion, of connection, where we're not exchanging genetic information like bacteria, but we're exchanging memetic information, memes, right? It's like the cultural part of information. That's what Richard Dawkins coined, the memetic. And it's like, you know, you imagine two bacteria in your digestive system. They're sharing information, sharing genes, becoming better as a result. But now it's like two humans interacting through light on a plasma screen. And we're exchanging memetic information. And the result of this is emergent intelligence. When you have 100 trillion cells or whatever it is in your body that come together, they form a higher intelligence, right? You're not actually you, right? You are what is all of your cells. You are something all of your cells are doing. Like if you take an individual cell, that cell has consciousness, right? It takes in information from its environment, it responds. And when you put a bunch of these things together, you create such an enormous leap in intelligence that you get from one cell, you put them together, you get your intelligence of a human, right? And imagine like you and I are each cells, right? This trend continues. With the internet, we're able to connect and we form a higher mind. We become more conscious, more intelligent, more able to navigate our environments. And this is for good or bad, right? It's both, for both, it's power. But I just love the idea that the internet allows the mastermind of humanity to emerge. That by us connecting, we're able to access higher levels of consciousness.
Is that not scary to you?
I would say no. Because if we look at just the trend in biology, things have gone well so far. Mm. And I think the universe is on its way. It's doing exactly what it needs to be done. And, you know, whatever happens, it's like, it's okay. It's the middle way. Does it scare you?
No, I would agree. I think that fear is the dirtiest tactic of the devil himself. Weaponizing science or like weaponizing technology against our humanity does nothing but slow us down. And I think that we're always right on time. I think that it's really cool that we get to live in the cultural moment that we do. And I think it's really cool that you and I got to happen to meet from the For You page, which I'm trying to think like probably what the first video of yours that I saw was. This podcast actually wouldn't exist if it weren't for TikTok, I don't think. I've had so many interesting conversations with friends that I've met elsewhere or people that I know outside of the internet. It's really cool that TikTok itself, this application that is growing so quickly, is this nucleus of information. I don't know about you, but I would like to utilize it for the good, utilize it to share knowledge, things that are going to help other people and bring hope to other people. And so I think that the internet can be a tool of wisdom and light and like hope and knowledge. And I think that you are such a great example of that. So thank you for what you do. Thank you for being able to create time and space to help other people. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I talk about my, not problems, but talk about things that I've overcome or like talk about things and tools that have helped me. It helps me because I'm helping other people. Other people can help me by us just being honest about things that we're going through.
Which brings me to my last question for you, Eric.
If you could tell your younger self anything today, what would you say to him?
I love this question. And I it's one of the most common questions that I ask old people. Whenever I see an old person, I'm like, I ask them this question in the hopes of assimilating some other wisdom. Okay. Well, I suspect this will change as I evolve. But for now, I would tell my past self, first and foremost, that you can shape your reality. You can create. You're not a chimp. You're not a salmon. You're a human. And you have creative faculties. By choosing what you want and really being clear on what you want your life to look like, right? Choosing a vision, dreaming big, which is quite difficult, you can actually create your reality. I'd also tell him that nobody really knows what they're doing, that, you know, whatever stage in life, you're always going to be asking yourself, like, what the hell? What is this? And that's going to continue until you're 90 and you're about to leave this earth. And so with that comes liberation, to trust your instincts, trust yourself, because Steve Jobs and the Buddha and Jesus Christ and Obama and just all these incredible leaders and Nelson Mandela, they were all 13 once. They were all children once. And if they discounted what they thought to be truth because the cultural norm or their superiors, their adults of the world didn't agree with that, then the world would have been a very different place. And so nobody knows what they're doing. Trust your instincts. Trust yourself to actually do what you feel is right. And I would say to everybody, you know, you guys are very powerful. Like we're in a beautiful, abundant time in the world. And if you're living in a first world country or a place that has a certain level of privilege, for lack of a better word, right? You have your water, you have your bed, you have food, right? We have the lower Maslow's hierarchy of needs met to a large extent. It's kind of our duties to actualize, right? And that's kind of the journey of life, is like become your best self and represent those who are not so fortunate. So thank you for having me. This has been excellent. I enjoyed it. And I wish you the absolute best. I think you're doing amazing stuff as well. Like, yeah, there's a reason I was also impressed by just like you. I never even met you, but just like on an energy level, I was like, okay, there's something here. And I'm glad we also were able to connect. Thanks for having me.
That's so kind to say. And I think that you are making the world a better place, one external recollection at a time. Guys, thanks so much for listening to this conversation. I will link all of Eric's information. He does coaching. He teaches on TikTok. He also has his own podcast. And I love listening to it. I think that you will too. So we love you guys. Happy holidays. If you don't watch this visually, there's a Christmas tree behind me. And I hope that you all know that this time of year can be really difficult. And we've talked about families. And I just, I hope that you join your prayers or thoughts or whatever you decide to meditate and sit on. And just send out more love and send out more light and join your prayers to mine during this time where things can be difficult in the world. And we will see you guys so soon. Bye.